fighting for America.
It's time to turn this country around.
We took the power away from the Washington-based special interests, and we put it in the hands of the Wisconsin taxpayers.
The people of Texas have spoken, and I am deeply honored to be your next governor.
Fighting for Idaho.
First, I'm not going to give a long speech. And second, the campaign is over.
Fighting for you.
We're the reddest of the red state in the United States of America.
Let's stay that way. Thank you.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller in the Morning. Let's get right to it. Senator Jim Risch with us. Congratulations, Senator.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a good morning. The day after that, yesterday was my... Vicki and I have been married 46 years. And
right.
This was our 34th election together. So we've been at it a while. And counting primaries and generals, we've been... We've done 34 of them. So
you are pretty descriptive of over the years how your kids have developed over these elections, if I recall from your speech last night.
Yeah, we had. I said last night when we took the stage that when I walked up the stairs, I was thinking that it was 40 years ago last night that Vicki and I walked up those stairs the first time. I was running for Ada County Prosecuting Attorney and got elected in 1970. So 44 years ago the first trip up the stairs, and we'd been married 2 years, a little over 2 years, 2 years and 4 months, and we had little James who was there last night,
right.
And so he was a year old at the time, but we look at those pictures, you know, and it, like all families, you know, you have pictures over the years, and see they have different T-shirts on from different races and what have you.
Indeed. Last night, while you're up there, by the way, you know, you just got reelected. Is this your last campaign?
You know, I don't. I'm not ready to announce that I'm running for reelection, but okay. If, you know, if the decision were made today, I would be announcing that. I first of all, there's a lot of work to be done back there. I think I've done so much here in Idaho. It's I can take Idaho's message back there and deliver it pretty well and pretty effectively. So I seem to be tolerating it pretty well. My health's good. Enjoy it. So, I mean, 6 years is a long time. We'll see where we are. But I'm certainly not adverse to another term, if that's what you're asking.
Exactly. Senator, here at 580 KIDO, you said something to me off the air, if you could share it with our listeners, that Idaho is still Idaho. Was that the message last night?
Well, it's interesting, Kevin, because it's a lesson that I think has to be relearned every 2 years. I mean, you look at the campaign we just went through. I mean, they've gotten that's the one downer about all this stuff is if you get up and have a civil discussion about the issues. We disagree. I mean, we disagree with the other side on the size of government, the function of government, how much control it should have over us. I mean, these are legitimate disputes. There's people who like that. They really believe that they're smart enough that if they can just get elected to office, they can run people's lives a lot better than people can run their own lives. And they're sincere about it. They look around at people and say, oh, this is so terrible, you know, and things are so bad. If you just give me the power, I can change this, you know. And so we have legitimate disputes. The problem is just as we've seen just now through this last election, is it's become so hateful and so vitriolic that the civil discussion's really gone out the window. I mean,
yep.
People, I think, on each side of the aisle used to get along a lot better. But when you start calling your opponent a liar and when you accuse them of felonies, essentially, of taking money and voting because people give you money to vote that way, I mean, that's a felony. And we're all human beings. You can't accuse somebody of that. And then when it's all over, smile and pat each other on the back and say, oh, this was so much fun. It was wonderful, you know. And this is not a sporting event. You know, people sometimes... they compare it to a sporting event where when it's over, the people shake hands and smile and it's all wonderful. In a sporting event, there's rules. There are very specific rules, and if you're a gentleman or a lady, you follow those rules, and when it's over, it's a fair competition. In this, of course, there are no rules, and people, what amazes me, too, is I've seen people who walk onto the field and who are really good people, ordinary people, good church-going Christian people who learn to love and respect their fellow human beings. They stand up and announce for public office, and the first thing they do is start hurling insults at their opposition. How can this be? How can people be like that?
How can you govern?
Well, and the campaign's different than governance. There's no question about it. But in any event, it's interesting. And Idaho is Idaho. I mean, if you look back over the last 6 weeks or so, and you look at the campaigns and the ads that have been run, and the other side has been telling us how bad off we are and how miserable we are and what a terrible life we have here in Idaho. Voters said yesterday, no, we're not. And they do that every 2 years. And so I don't – the other side's probably – they probably won't. But they're, before you can fix a problem, you got to admit you've got a problem. And the message that they have, just it didn't work yesterday, and it hasn't worked in Idaho as long as I've been in this business. So we'll see. I mean, we've got about four print publications in Idaho that are very left-leaning, particularly in their editorial rooms. Their heads have got to just be exploding this morning. One of them, and I don't remember which one, I don't read that stuff. It's just not – if someone criticizes what I do, I want to hear it. I want to see it. If it's a legitimate, well-thought-out, reasonable dissection of the issue. But if it's just the – if it's just the vitriolic, hateful, oh, he only voted that way because he hates fill in the class, I don't want to hear it. And that's what you get from some of these people. And so I don't read that stuff. But one of my staff did clip a piece and give it to me, and it was written within the last year, a year and a half. And I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of those far left people. And the title of it was "With Voters Like This, Why Bother?" And it was despondent over the fact that we Idahoans are Idahoans, and right. He just couldn't comprehend how we could think the way we think. And but Idaho is Idaho, and I think most everybody lives here because they want to live here.
I would agree with you. Let's go to Denise, who's been very patient at 580KIDO for Senator Risch. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator Risch. I'm quite pleased with the election results yesterday, but I have a question for you. How much are you, Senator McConnell was talking about working with the Democrats, and Congressman Simpson was just talking about that. How much are you willing to compromise our constitutional liberties and freedom? Because that's what happens when we compromise with Democrats.
Well, my answer to that is I'm not willing to compromise anything when it comes to our constitutional freedoms or what have you. As you probably know, they rank me as the most conservative member of the United States Senate, and that's because two things are on my mind when I analyze a vote, and that is, number one, is it constitutional? And number two, what's this going to do to the financial condition of the country? And those are important issues. And when it comes to compromising, I think probably what they're talking about more is governance. Now, the fact is the Republicans now have both houses of Congress, and like it or not, we have to govern. And so we're going to wind up having to govern. And this the government that we inherit is not something we like. It's not something that we want. It's a $17 trillion indebted institution. That's got to get changed, and we're going to do that. But look, I'm dying to compromise. I've said that since I went back there. I said, look, I want to compromise. So it's compromise that actually has gotten us to the $3.8 trillion that we spend every year. It's compromise that's going to get us out of that. And so you say, let's compromise. How much less will we spend this year? Well, when you put that question on the table, I look at you like you have three heads. I mean, there is no compromise when you're going the other direction, and they're going to have to they are going to have to compromise. So what I would recommend to everybody, and and is get out Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution and read it again. Because back in Washington, D.C., I'm not sure they even know that that section exists. But what Article 1, Section 8 is it specifies the reach of the federal government and says beyond that, the power belongs to the people and it belongs to the states. And I believe it, and that's how I vote, and urge everybody to do the same.
Denise, thank you for the call. Senator, what does this mean for those of us that follow politics, that the Republicans have control of the Senate? What will that mean for you? What will that mean for the state? Do positions change at all?
Well, positions don't change, but certainly what we're able to do back there as we discuss issues is we now set the agenda. I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but the United States Senate is very much different than for instance, the Idaho legislature. No bill goes to the floor of the Senate unless it goes through Harry Reid's office, and there is no way to get it to the floor of the Senate without one man, Harry Reid, saying, yes, we're gonna take up this vote. So as a result of that, the kind of things that we are voting on are very different than the kinds of things that we're going to be that we're going to vote on. Let me give you a couple of really specific examples. Keystone Pipelines have been a huge issue for us. Harry Reid won't let us vote on it. He wouldn't let us run an amendment on it. Now that Mitch McConnell is going to be the majority leader, that's going to be one of the first things up. It's going to pass. It's going to pass handily. The president, it's probably going to pass in a veto-proof way. And so here's something that everybody wanted, yet Harry Reid wouldn't let us either debate it or vote on it. And so that's going to change. Another one that that we're going to talk about and very quickly is repatriating U.S. funds that are overseas. The corporations that operate internationally now, which many, many do, and many of them are American corporations. They make a profit overseas, and they can't bring the profit home because they get walloped with the highest tax rate on the face of the earth after paying a tax in the country that they earned it in. And so we Republicans have been saying, bring that money home. There's trillions of dollars over there. Pay some amount of tax on it, probably a relatively small tax, but pump it into the American economy and create jobs with it, distribute it to stockholders, whatever. But don't leave it overseas. Bring it home. It is only capital, working capital, that makes a country function and gives us the quality of life that we want.
We go to our friend Craig in Boise for Senator Risch at 580KIDL. Hey, Craig.
Hi there. Hey, Senator Risch. You again came from the district that used to represent me in my district out here in Southwest. And between you and Senator Fulcher, I'm proud to say that I live in this area. The one concern I had was the timidity of the Republican Party. And I think at least from your perspective, you've answered the question that action needs to be taken. The one concern I do have on that side is that just because there's a win, I would like to see the Republicans not either be too timid or at the same time get too egoistic about it, remain humble, focus on the economy, again, as you were talking about, focus on what's good for the people of the United States. Because it seems when there's money available, a lot of problems have a tendency to go away. Because people do well, they're more satisfied, they can find more success. So I hope that's the direction that the Congress will go in this coming next 2 years and provide a good springboard for the presidential election coming up.
Well, you know, that's a really good speech, it needs to be repeated in Washington, D.C. There is a sweet spot. And you have to find that sweet spot. And what is the sweet spot you're looking for where you do govern and you govern the way your philosophical and political beliefs are, and yet at the same time not get so arrogant or overreach to the point where you get thrown out. I say to my friends back there all the time that are trying to do this, that, or the other thing, I say, look, no matter what, if we ever get in charge, and I know because I did this in Idaho, if we ever get in charge, we have got to govern. If you don't govern, they'll throw you out of there so quick it'll make your head spin. People expect a government that is responsive to them, but yet does no more for them than absolutely necessary, doing things that people can't do for themselves.
Greg, thank you for the call. We've got to run quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Quickly back to Senator Risch. Senator, your thoughts on Pastor Saeed and his wife Nagmeet Abedini?
Well, you know, first of all, let me say that the administration really, really wants a deal with Iran. We've seen that in the past, to the point where I and many, many, many other people have been incredibly unhappy and critical of the way the administration has approached this. You wonder whether they really understand the kind of people that they're dealing with. But in any event, having said that, I'm going to continue to keep the pressure on for Pastor Abedini. It needs to be done. If I had anything to say about it, he'd be free right now, because those people would not have gotten one penny of the money that was tied up without releasing him. So the bad news is, I'm afraid the administration is not going to make a very good deal with the Iranians. The good news is we're going to press them really hard that when they get to the deal, that it's got to include the three Americans, including Pastor Abedini, one of my constituents who needs to be free.
Quickly to Owen Eagle for Senator Risch at 580 KIDO.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. Senator Risch, congratulations on last night's victory to all of the candidates. If last night was a horse race, I think the Democrats would be headed for the glue factory about today. But I have a question for you. I don't look for President Obama to modify his stance on illegal immigrants, and I do look for him to grant amnesty quickly to about 30 million. What my question is what are you prepared to do when that happens? And I'll just listen to your answer.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. You know, I've been reading the same predictions that you have, and I guess the ultimate answer is going to be it depends on what he does. Now, the chief executive does have, with executive authority, the ability to do some things, but I have no doubt that if it's an overreach, and I suspect very strongly that it is going to be an overreach, that there is going to be a legislative reaction to that.
Okay, one more call for Senator Risch. We go to Ryan in Meridian. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, this is a follow-up to the last question. That individual actually took my question. When you say an overreach, what specifically does the president have the power to do when it comes to immigration, and what specific legislative action are you willing to take?
Well, let me say that what power the president has is just what he's had all along, and that is this administration is the first administration in the history of America that has said, well, look, we're going to enforce some laws, and we're not going to enforce other laws. And that's how he operates as an executive. He has the authority. Indeed, he's supposed to have the constitutional mandate that he executes. That's what an executive does. The laws that are enacted by the first branch of government, the people's branch of government, the legislative branch. And we have very clear laws on immigration. They're on the books. They're there. They're black and white. They should be enforced. But he has specifically said he is not going to enforce the law under the following specific circumstances. This is a very, very dangerous precedent to set in the United States, where you have the executive branch very much overruling what the law of the country is. Whether you like the law or whether you don't like the law, we are a people of laws, and we have to live with those laws.
Well, I would agree, but again, what legislative action is the Congress willing to take to stop it?
Well, I think that there's at least some members of Congress, including myself, that would be very much in favor of and will probably take a run at reversing anything he tries to do that's illegal.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. Senator, thank you.
Kevin, thank you. Enjoyed being here. It's a good morning in Idaho. I have found that every morning when you wake up after Election Day is a good morning to wake up if you're a Republican.
Well, Senator, God bless. Take care.
All right. Thanks so much, Kim. Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. And our next guest has done that several times. He joins us now, the Lieutenant Governor, Brad Little, with us. And Am I at least your favorite soap salesman today, sir?
You are, Kevin.
Well, how are you?
I'm great.
Boy, an incredible night last night. What are your thoughts initially?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised. We took a bus and went around about 3,000 miles around the state, and that was my second or third trip, and I shouldn't have been surprised, but of course, obviously, the people that show up to see us are often partisan, but I was very pleased by the good judgment that people in other states utilized, and I think they look at an example of where good conservative values in these other states, where we're not racking up debt and trying to create growth in the economy and opportunity. They like that, and people are adopting it. So I was very pleased.
Do you ever get a chance to step back as someone who is in the arena to get lost in the moment? I had young Jacob with me, and I said, you know, young Jacob, this was his first election night coverage, and I said, you've just witnessed history, but as someone who has a vested interest in this, that you put it on the line, you could be doing other things. Do you ever just kind of sit back and go, wow, another great night for Idaho and the nation's following suit?
Yes. But, you know, Teresa asked me this morning, you know, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to try and do a good job. I think we've got a sense of what people want. They really do want opportunity with the lightest possible hand of government. I think education is going to be a big factor going forward because, particularly in rural Idaho, there's so many challenges. One of the best ways to meet those challenges is to provide a really educated workforce. So some of that industry goes back to those towns. I constantly worry, always do worry about the federal government and what they're going to do to us, because whether we like it or not, we're part of them. We've got our proportional share of the debt and the obligations and the mismanagement on the foreign level and, you know, the consequences to the world security. But you just get up every morning and try and do the best you can.
Well, for those of us that live in the first state of Ada or just kind of hang out in the Treasure Valley, what are the challenges in rural Idaho when it comes to education? That was an issue in this year's campaign.
Well, I think, I hope we see more emphasis on vocational training so that, you know, those young people and those existing people in those communities where, whether it was mining or logging or agriculture or food processing, as those industries become more sophisticated and use less people, that those skills, those vocational skills and those knowledge skills, some entrepreneur can come up with a new idea and create, you know, 20 new jobs in those little communities, whether it's Craigmont or WEI for Dietrich, disperse that industry around the state of Idaho, because we can be the most efficient producer of a lot of things. We've got a good supply of water that needs to be managed. We've got about the most affordable energy anywhere in the world. And we've got the people. We just got to, you know, kind of assist those people with the skills. And there, you know, there's going to be some communities that just don't make it. But you got to give them, those communities that want to have the opportunity to prosper and grow. So,
well, it should be an interesting session. Again, education, never a dull moment. You take a look at anything else that we should be on the lookout for. Obviously, transportation, infrastructure in the state. These are all tough, hard-hitting issues that have to be paid for.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I'm always a proponent of, you know, making those little investments today that are going to save us a lot of money down the road. And education and infrastructure are two great examples. You know, first you got to be as absolutely efficient as you can with the existing dollars, And we made great progress in that, in I think in both those fields. And then, you know, you've got to put enough velocity in the economy to where those additional tax revenues are available to fund infrastructure and fund education. So I think we're on the right path.
Anything else you'd like to share with us? Again, we appreciate you making time for us so early in the morning.
No, I'm still looking over some of the other states to see what happened there. I know Illinois is a great example of a state that's just absolutely upside down and backwards and and broke. And I see they made some changes there, and that's good, because sometimes those problems in some of those states get to be so big that it falls over on us, and there's really no gain I love to compete against other states, but we really are the United States of America, and the better the whole country does, the better off we're going to be. So I think there were some great fundamental changes last night, and so we'll just press on. I know that Senator Scrapo and Senator Risch last night, I asked Mike last night if he's been the chairman of the Committee on Committees, which is a big deal. They're the ones that assign the committee assignments, and he told me they hadn't told him no, but he'd been the longest serving in one of those, and that's really important to Idaho, because both Senator Risch and Senator Crapo can be very helpful in the new majority in the Senate about protecting Idaho from some of the things the federal government does wrong, and representing us. So I'm real excited about that opportunity.
Well, we're excited you're going to be around for a little while longer.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I'll look forward to seeing you one of these bright mornings.
Well, you know, my goal one day is I'm going to start training so I can actually try, and I won't keep up with you, but I'll be several steps behind on your early morning jog.
Okay. All right, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Lieutenant Governor Brad Little with us here at 580KIDO. The soap salesman reference, we were at Thomas Hammer, and he looks at me and goes, "You're just a soap salesman." I go, the truth hurts. We go to Jim and Star at 580KIDO, and before we start talking to Jim, I have an announcement to make. I don't know if you won, but I did write you in for a couple things yesterday.
Yeah, nice. The truth hurts, doesn't it?
How about that? How about thank you, Kay Millie? Did you write me in at all?
I did.
You did?
Yep. For the Northwest Region Salesman of the Year, I wrote you in for that.
Yeah, but that's not on the ballot. I'm serious. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to vote for three people: Tea Party Bob, I won't say which office, Patriot Ray, and you.
All right. I give up. I did. I wrote you in for corner. Man, I got to tell you, Millie, it's been weighing on my heart. It took almost everything I had to go vote yesterday. It really did. And this is not theatrics, and it's not a bit. And I just talked to my wife earlier this morning, and she says, "Aren't you happy?" You know my wife, and she's very political, and she's, you know, loves to see things going in at least a common sense direction. But I got to say, man, I'm so pessimistic about it. It sort of feels like, okay, these guys that we voted in, they're supposed to do the things that we agree would be the right way to manage and right way to govern and right way to lead. But I just think it's just going to be another, here we go again. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm getting to the point where I'm so cynical about it.
Well, you're always wrong. You know, it's pretty bad when you've decided to, how should I say this, channel your inner Kay Millie. I'm the one that's supposed to be negative. You're the one that's supposed to be positive.
I know. It was tough. I mean, usually I get real excited when I leave the voting booth, and last night I just left, and I was like, oh, boy, you know, here we go again. And, I just want guys to answer to the one person we need to answer to, these men and women that run our country for us.
Now, come on. You got to admit, Harry Reid not being in charge is a good thing.
That's a great thing. Now, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Kevin. That's probably the number one thing that got me the most excited is Reid doesn't have the ultimate control that he did. So that is a great thing, and there's a lot to be excited for. I just hope something gets to the core of these people that were just recently elected or reelected, that don't compromise. Stop being stop being a tool and get things done. It's just we're really so at a breaking point. You know it and I know it. And I'm not just talking about our state, but our country. We really have to take control and start to lead it. And I've got a friend that's from Europe, and he told me last night, he's like, I came here in 1981, Jimmy. And he goes, you know, I came here because I wanted to be a winner. And that's what he told me. I wanted to win. And then look at it now. He says, I have never, ever seen such a dramatic change that we've had in the last few years to be like a European country. I mean, it's really ugly, and I don't like it, and I know you don't either, but God bless these people, and hopefully things do change.
Wow.
And thanks for voting me in. I appreciate it. Someday I think I'm going to run for something. I don't know what it is, but if I run for office, Kevin, they'll shoot me. That's what will happen, because I won't play games. I'll do things right, and I won't be compromised or bought by anybody, and you know what they do to guys like that.
It never ends well for a true believer.
It never does. It never does, so... Hey man, you keep up the good work, and I'm glad you're so fired up on 2 hours of sleep, dude. You're just the guy for our community here, and thank you for doing what you do, man. You take care.
Well, hold on before you go.
Okay.
You're kind of an in shape guy, right?
I was.
Compared to me, you're in shape.
We're getting in shape though. Remember we had a little talk at our last lunch.
Yeah, you tried to get me to sell out and lose weight.
Yeah.
That's what happens when plump people lose weight. They sell out. Anyway, this is the advantage of being a chub, is that you can manipulate your body without any chemicals. Oh, okay, a little caffeine, a little hot chocolate, but to run. You know, you folks that are in shape and need your sleep, hey, I could do this all day. Just give me some fried chicken and some pizza.
Oh, yeah. You're like a science experiment gone all wrong.
Now, I don't know if I'd go that far, but give me, all I need is a rascal and, as little physical activity as possible, and I'm good.
I know. What's so funny about you is people that don't know you, you're not a sweet eater, and that's the craziest thing, you know. You always joke about, and I think that's the best thing to do, you know, whenever we have anything that isn't quite perfect, you know, whether you're not like me, you know.
Oh, back to you,
tall.
Yes.
Well, I'm not tall, obviously.
Well, people have this, you know, thing about folks in height and stuff. I'm tired of the height discrimination that goes on.
Well, it's just funny. You know, you got to embrace the things that you didn't get, because nobody has everything. Nobody. And that's how I've been raising my
son.
Sean
Hannity has everything.
No.
Your boy Glenn Beck has everything.
Nope. Glenn Beck's a pudge, and he has no athletic bones in his body. Like you, when you won your Marconi.
And I thought I didn't have a life.
Dude, you're overweight, but man, you've got the power of a lion. You jumped about three steps at a time to get to the top.
And my knee didn't blow out, which was even better.
Glenn Beck couldn't do that. Glenn Beck would probably fall over right there on the spot, because he's sort of mushy, you know. And
where is
this
going?
What's that? Well, you're talking about...
Are we having a private conversation, or is this a professional radio show?
This is sort of private conversation, isn't it? This is the kind of stuff that we talk about, and then you get mad because I defend Glenn, and you go,
Well, I have to go. I'm mad.
Hey, thanks so much, man.
Thank you, brother.
What you do, buddy. See ya.
See ya. Let's get you to traffic now, 580.
Don Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, quickly to Mark in Boise. Mark, we've got about 30 seconds for you at 580 KIDO.
Well, I can proudly say I blew my prediction out my behind, and I'm glad to say it. But one thing, it's all going to be for naught unless they uncover and get to the bottom of the scandals under this administration. Also, if they are able to undo the Health Care Act, and, I mean, we need to see things. We need to see action, because action speaks louder than words. You have a good day, Kevin.
All right, Mark, thank you for the call at 580-KIDO. We go to Liberal Steve. 30 seconds.
Yes, Kevin Miller, good morning. It's a great day in Idaho, and I would like to say congratulations to all those who fought a hard battle and came out the winners yesterday. That's the way America works, and I'm proud to be an Idahoan, and I'm proud to be an American. You guys stay fired up.
All right, Liberal Steve, we appreciate that. He's buying lunch. Let's get you to traffic now. 8:59, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, we're at Bora High School tomorrow. promoting our school, securing our future. Love to keep in touch with you throughout the day. Kevin Miller Show on Facebook, at 580KIDO on Twitter, or Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, tweeting a lot. Tweet me, no, tweet you. In all seriousness, folks, good day, God bless, and hey, at least we ain't living in California. Words to live by. Keep the faith. We're so thankful to be with you. Have a great day. Serving Meridian.